In the Lab, a Texans podcast that takes a different look at things. Drew Doherty and John Harris have their lab coats and goggles on and the Bunsen burners burning. Here's Drew.
In the Lab time is now. My name's Drew Doherty. That's John Harris. John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm okay. I got two screens going. I got my remote for my film over here. I got my computer to take my notes, so I'm good.
Got your glasses on, your hipster dark frame glasses, which I have dark frame glasses, too. I just wear contacts.
I wish I was trying to be hipster, but every time I try to be a hipster, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
I put them on, put them off when I get in bed, pretty much, so only when I'm around the house.
But yeah.
My 21-month-old, when she runs into our room in the morning, she... First thing she does when the light comes on and we get out of bed, she goes and like grabs the glasses and hands them to me. So
That's nice.
She knows I can't function without them.
Oh my God, Jack would grab my glasses when I had glasses. Jack would just grab my glasses. Yeah, he just rip them off, and I was just like, oh, he used to drive me crazy with that. He just every time, and then he'd laugh about it, he'd cackle about it, like he had done something, and I was like, one of these days, son, I'm gonna man. Yeah, we've kind of reached that point now where he's 20. I'm like, all right, let's go.
20, man. It's interesting you bring up 20 because we're going to get into our table of contents. And today, look at me addressing the camera here like a seasoned professional news anchor,
You've
sports
done this
anchor.
Before, I yeah. think. I think you have.
Today, folks, on the show, today's table of contents is going to go like this. We're going to have a little bit of a review of the 20 interesting little numbers to know about the 2020 schedule. There's a few little tidbits that are kind of fun. We're also going to go over the President's Day, Houston Texans roster, all-time roster. And you might be thinking, what the heck is that? You should be, because it's a weird idea. And then we're going to go down combine memory lane and think about the oddest encounter / event you've ever gone through at the combine. It could be walking the halls to and from the hotel. Mm-hmm. It could be somebody doing something actually on the field. Doesn't matter. I would kind of prefer it to be off the field and away from that stuff, just because it's more fun talking, because we've seen some weird stuff at the combine.
Yeah.
We see some weird stuff when we travel.
I actually have one that's not so odd, but I think my favorite story from the combine,
save it for the later. All right. That's the third thing.
It involves a Texan, by the way.
No, I'm sure it does. I don't doubt that it does. But we're going to get now into 20 interesting little facts, some tidbits to know about the 2020 schedule, because the Texans aren't traveling that much this year. They're traveling. Air miles wise. Last year they set the record because they had to go to London, but they also went to L.A. That's a long trip.
Yeah.
They went up to Baltimore. That's a semi-long trip. Not too bad. Longest one they take this year is to play the Steelers. They don't go west of Houston.
Right.
That's kind of odd. Sometimes, you know, you go to Denver or you go to one of the West Coast teams. Not happening this year. So the Texans going to be traveling 7,000 miles almost less than they did last year.
Yep.
That's kind of a nice thing, and I wonder how it affects the squad, because there was a lot of worry, a lot of consternation. And Twitter told me in about late August that the Texans would be lucky to win 6 games.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, that's what I was told. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to win 7 games because the travel, the schedule was tougher, et cetera, et cetera.
You're playing the AFC West.
You're playing the AFC West. You've got all these quarterbacks. Yeah, you're not going to beat the Patriots. You couldn't do that. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm interested how much of a factor, because you'll never really know. It's a quantitative thing. You never really know truly how much that affects wins, losses when it comes down to it.
I think one of the things about the schedule, so to speak, is, and we won't know this till April when the schedule gets unveiled, is how the game's set up, you know, timing-wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last year, you know, we're sitting there looking at after the bye, a trip to Baltimore, a Thursday night.
Which you thought, hey, after a bye, you can handle those guys. Yeah. They lost in the first round of playoffs.
I even said at the time, I felt like Baltimore was a year away. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought 2020 was going to be the year where we go, oh, look out. Because Lamar, getting Greg Orman's offense, kind of getting it where they want it, it's probably going to be 2020 when those guys are really, really good. And they were a year ahead of schedule, in my estimation. But it was Baltimore, and then you looked at, okay, well, then you got the three in the row at home. But you've got the Baltimore, you've got the Indianapolis Thursday night game 5 days after you know it's going to be a physical matchup in Baltimore. Then you've got the Patriots the Sunday after that. And then you have no idea about the Denver Broncos. None whatsoever. But I remember at the time thinking,
you should be able to handle them.
Should be able to handle them. It's Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Texas played pretty well against Flacco. He doesn't hurt them. You know where he's going to be in the pocket. You just rush him and you'll be fine. And it turned out, of those games, Baltimore and Denver were the more difficult ones, and then you win the two. But my point being, because you didn't really know when you were going to play those games, you thought, man, if maybe you play Baltimore earlier in the year, maybe it's a little bit easier game. Seemingly, who knows? Maybe you've played Denver when Flacco's playing, that's a little bit easier game. Maybe you play the Colts even a few weeks later when Brissett really was starting to show some cracks in the armor. Maybe that's an even bigger win. Who knows? But I think a lot of it just has to do with when you end up playing these games and how you do it. The one that I'll be curious if it happens is Detroit Thanksgiving and whether that happens.
It's a good chance of it. CBS is broadcasting that Detroit game because they had the Cowboys game this year.
Right.
So Fox gets it next year.
So
usually it's almost always when CBS is doing it, they're covering an AFC team going on the road. It's not a hard and fast rule, but it's a pretty consistent rule.
Indy. Let it be Indy. Let them sign Phillip Rivers. Let it be Indy.
Yeah.
I'd rather not play on Thanksgiving.
The bottom line is this, though. We can talk all we want about, this is a win. Free agency has not happened.
Yeah, draft.
The draft
has
not happened.
We don't know.
And it really doesn't matter until the year comes. But you know what? You know what else? Some interesting numbers. So I gave you, that was one, 7,000 less. Which team do you think, or which opponent in 2020 do you think Deshaun Watson has the most career passing yards against?
Atlanta's not on the schedule.
So who does he's facing a team.
Wait, in a single game?
Yeah, so going in, no. In his career, all
his
time.
Career.
So it's obviously
Kansas City.
No. It's the Colts. 1,248 career passing yards against those guys.
Well, wait a second. So two games in 18-3.
Think about the overtime game. He threw for a lot of yardage in that.
Yeah. He did. Yeah, he did. And then he had a lot. One of the games against the Colts in week four.
Mm-hmm.
Week four up there in 2018.
Colts.
That makes sense.
Who's the only team that the Texans face in 2020 that they have a perfect record against all time? Never lost to them.
The Bears.
4-0.
How about that?
Yeah. It was until 2015. The Dolphins.
Yeah, the Dolphins.
I mean, the Dolphins and the Bears.
And then 2015 happened.
They wrecked that.
2015 went up and it didn't just go up in smoke. It went up in a if we ever did it in a lab on the days you'd never want to experience again or trips you never want to experience again. Now, the flip side of that is there are plenty of trips where I'd like to experience them again. That trip, I don't ever want to speak of that trip.
Yeah.
Ever. It was awful.
It rained.
It was awful.
You had a monsoon for about 3.5 minutes.
You had the mallet stuff.
And then,
you had the mallet stuff before the game. Then you have the game itself. And then it rains like in the second quarter, like a monsoon for like 5 minutes. The second half, we're, I don't even know what, the 41-7. I don't want to talk about that game.
Hey, man, before the game started, I was in the elevator going up to the press box all by myself. It started shaking side to side like there was an earthquake, I thought. And one of the tiles came down and hit me in the head.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
That trip. It's one never to be spoken of. But yeah,
that was fine.
Perfect against the Bears.
Perfect. 4-0. Okay, over under 58.5 sacks all time against these 2020 opponents for J.J. Watt. Does he have more than 58.5 sacks all time?
All the opponents?
Just the opponents, 2020.
Including division opponents?
Including.
Yes. He's over. He's over because
60.5 career sacks for all against all these. Now, 60.5 of those 60.5, how many do you think roughly are against the AFC South?
I would say 70% of them. So 70% of 60 is 42.
Man, you're a math magician. 45.
Oh wow.
Yeah, 45 are against career sacks combined against Jacksonville, Indianapolis, and Tennessee.
Yeah, 75%.
Mhm.
That would make sense.
Okay, I don't want to. I don't want to keep going down this road.
Can I give you a number?
Sure.
Number's two.
Yeah, what's that?
The number is two. There are two road trips in 2020 for yours truly to complete the set.
Oh yeah.
To complete the NFL
set. It's
gotta be
Detroit and Chicago, right?
Detroit and Chicago. Yeah. The only two that I have not been to.
How about that?
And I've been to both Detroit and Chicago, but I've never seen a game in Detroit and Chicago. And those two stadiums have not been through Ford Field, Soldier Field. Now, obviously, Las Vegas has got a new stadium, and then the Rams Chargers have got a new stadium. So we'll have to go out there at some
point. But you've been to their old ones.
But been to the old ones. Yeah. So these two make it a complete NFL Sweet. Set in 2020.
I like it.
And then hopefully we'll play a preseason game out in Las Vegas.
That'd be fun.
Practice against Las Vegas, then play a preseason game.
Well, if history tends to hold, I don't think it would be Las Vegas unless the Raiders are still doing their camp in Napa.
Yeah, right. Then maybe.
But O'Brien has shown he wants to spend a week in cooler climates.
Yeah, something
at
cooler.
Least.
Yeah.
He did.
Las Vegas would not be that.
Because you did Greenbrier all those years. You've done
Denver.
Went
to Green Bay last year.
Richmond. Yeah, you want to go someplace cooler. Okay, another number two. Only two road opponents next year went to the playoffs this year. Chiefs and Titans.
Yeah.
Only two. Only one team you face in 2020 has a new head coach. Kevin Stefanski of the Bills.
Browns.
Browns. I knew that.
Wow.
Bees. Yeah, so there we go.
Just one new coach on the whole entire schedule?
Yep.
Whoa.
Think about it.
Huh? Wow. Yeah, I didn't think about it. Kevin Stefanski, the only one with the Cleveland Browns.
Uh-huh. Man. All right, now, yesterday was President's Day, and there's not much going on news-wise with the Texans right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of digging for stuff to read about, talk about. And we had already covered that J.J. Watt got married. Congrats, J.J.
Yeah,
way
congrats.
To go. Mazel tov.
By the way, did you know that was coming? I was
kind of had some context clues on Instagram. Some people I knew that were in the Bahamas and him. He was in the Bahamas and seemed like it made sense this time of year.
I saw some of the pictures, and I saw a tweet from a friend of ours saying something about Atlantis. And I was like, that's Bahamas, right? It's Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And so, but I didn't put two and two together. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, he's getting married. I didn't know.
Yeah. So
I don't know. I didn't know if there was some announcement I missed, which is probably true.
His was the most notable wedding, but also this weekend, Titus Howard
got
married.
Yeah.
So did Kaimi Fairbairn.
How about that? Oh,
in Hawaii, no less, where he's from.
My daughter's going to be so upset.
Oh, she likes Kaimi?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Kaimi's way up on the list. Sorry, Meg Harder.
He's off the market.
She loves Kaimi.
So back to my thing. President's Day was yesterday, and I thought, you know, there's a lot of presidents' names that players share with Texans. So Johnson is the most common name with the Texans in Texans franchise history. There have been 12 Johnsons on this team or in the franchise.
Andre the best.
Yeah, you got to figure Jackson. You know, there's some good ones.
Kareem
so I thought,
Jackson, yeah.
Which player, how many players in Texans history have the same last name as a former president? It turns out there are 29 of them. And there were some names I never had seen or heard of before my time when I got here in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, who is this guy? But I thought, okay, well, there's 29. You can make an all-time team, can't you? Because I saw a quarterback on there.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you'd go knock off this year's Chiefs with this team. I'm not saying you'd knock off this year's Texans with – you would knock off the 0-2 Texans with this team.
Could you – okay, I'm not
gonna I don't think you could beat really just about anybody. But you'd have some stars. So – at quarterback, there's only been one quarterback in franchise history.
Wait, hold on. Let me see if I can get...
He didn't technically play in a game either.
Hmm.
But he was on the team. And he shares the same last name as the man who succeeded JFK. So it's LBJ, the Texan, Lyndon B. Johnson.
Oh, Josh Johnson.
Josh Johnson's that's going to be your quarterback.
Now the quarterback of the LA Wildcats?
Yeah.
Of the XFL?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, and, yeah, Josh Johnson, yeah.
Because of who he got talent-wise, I was going to go – I had to go with a three wide receiver set.
Okay, Andre Johnson.
Yep.
Now, Damaris Johnson, I don't know if you would have put him on there. He was one year.
I put him on my bench because I liked at the slot position the guy you got now.
Well, there's no
– who also returns.
There's no president named QT.
The guy who you got now, who's your return man.
DeAndre Carter. Oh,
Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter, yeah.
He was president when I was born.
What am I thinking? Okay.
And then I went with another Johnson. He wasn't here long. He caught the last pass of Jake Delhomme's career.
From
it was
Penn
a touchdown.
State. From Penn State.
Bryant Johnson. Yeah, so Damaris Johnson was on the bench. So I got three wideouts.
It's funny. I can remember the college. I can't remember his first name. It's ridiculous.
Oh, man. And then, it gets pretty dicey after this. My five... offensive lineman?
Yeah.
Okay, Roderick Johnson's your best.
Yeah.
You got Jeff Adams.
Oh, I remember. I saw him on the sidelines for
Columbia.
Somebody in the playoffs. He was on the sideline.
Maybe the Titans?
I don't remember. But I just remember seeing him like, oh, I didn't know he was there.
Jeff Adams, of course, John Adams and John Quincy Adams.
Yeah.
Scott Jackson, like Andrew Jackson.
Scott Jackson.
He was an offensive lineman here. He's center in 2006. Don't know if he played ever.
Yeah.
Todd Washington, George Washington.
Yeah.
He's 03, 05. That's it, man. There's only four linemen. So
we got four linemen?
I pressed Jarrell Adams into duty. Jarrell Adams, tight end. He's going to play a tackle.
Nice.
Yeah. And that's a 10-man offense. So I got to add, we'll go four wide. We'll add Damaris Johnson in there. So we'll go run and shoot.
There you go, run and shoot.
Yeah, I need to fix this. I've only got 10 men.
Who's your best defensive player on there?
Well, there's a few.
Kareem?
Yeah, I guess you'd have to go with Kareem. It's okay. You got some guys on defense. So your front line. Defensive end / rusher, Willie Jefferson, like Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, we all remember Willie, now the pride of Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Yeah, your bell cow on the offensive line is going to be Travis Johnson.
Defensive line, yeah.
Yeah. Thomas Johnson, it's 2006. Do you remember him?
Thomas Johnson. No.
I don't know if he played at all. You got Terrell Adams as a linebacker.
Yeah.
We'll play him.
Yep.
Deshaun Polk after James K. Polk.
Nice, yeah.
2004 through 2006. And then you're going to go like dime defense, basically, because you got Kareem Jackson.
Yes.
Kevin Johnson.
Kevin Johnson, yeah.
Lonnie Johnson Jr.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brandon Harrison after William Henry Harrison.
Yeah.
Benjamin
Safety.
Harrison. He was there in 08. And then Eugene Wilson after Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah.
He was here about 3 years.
Yeah.
He was a veteran. And Mike Adams. So
you
got like a bunch of safeties. And on the bench, you got names like Chris Carter. Remember running back Dennis Johnson?
Yes, from Arkansas.
Chris Polk, the running back. You have some.
Yeah, bang, bang, chicken, shrimp.
Yeah, Chris Taylor. Zachary?
Yes, Taylor was, he ended up being an intern with us over at 1560 when I was over there.
And then Nate Washington. He could be a.
Dude, that's a. You need to put Nate Washington in there for Damaris.
I'll put him
up.
In there. Yeah. I'll put him in.
That's a good way to go.
Yeah.
I like that.
So
Very nice.
Had a little fun with that. Yeah.
It's funny because I was trying to think about what I was going to do for my daily brew, and I actually thought about that. And then I was like, I got to spit this thing out in like 15 minutes. And
lots of cross-referencing, like you've got to go through the entire. So you have to have the presidents up in one screen, and then you got to go down. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Match it up.
It wasn't hard.
But watch how I segue into our next topic.
Yeah.
I chose to go with the next 2 weeks, last week and then this coming Friday, the players at the Combine. To watch offensive players at the combine to watch defensive players at the combine to watch. And I know you wanted to talk about the oddest story,
not necessarily oddest, but just most interesting.
Yeah.
We can go.
So
lots of ways.
Okay. So at the combine in 2016. So here's my story time. I like in the lab story time, by the way, it's very good. We need like a new graphic for that behind us. So 2016, we were still in the West Club at Lucas Oil, and radio tables running outside. Everybody else was just shoehorned into like one big old suite.
Yeah.
And people are just shoehorned in there. And it's wild. Like there's 1,000 people in there. I don't know how people are in there. Well, they've got 3 podiums set up, and then they've got a bunch of tables. Now we're in a convention center, so we got a lot more room. So they've got
dozen podiums.
Yeah, there's like 8 to 12 podiums. So they put a lot more people up at the podiums now. And then they still have the tables where you can go and talk to people that are maybe not as well known or people don't think are going to be first-round picks or whatever. So they only had 3 podiums at the time. And so the tables, that's the players at the tables. And so I would just kind of go sit at a table and just listen for a while. And so I was at a table, and Tyler Irvin was talking. Remember Tyler Irvin, former Texan? And Tyler Irvin was talking. And this guy, I can see kind of out of the corner of my eye, this guy just kind of rolled up. And Tyler finishes a question. He just blurts right in. He goes, Tyler, what are you going to run the 40 in? What do you anticipate running the 40 in? Like, what's going to be your 40 time? And Tyler's like, oh, man, I hope to run, like, in the 4.2s, 4.29. I was like, okay. So I didn't think much of it. I was like, boy, I knew Tyler was going to be fast. I had to see him on film. I knew he was going to be fast, but I was like, 4.29, that's pretty fast. So then I go to a different table.
It'd be one of the fastest 40 times ever.
Yeah, ever. So I go to another table. That same guy shows up again asking the same question.
And there's a few of that guy.
Yeah,
there's
right.
There's a few of that guy asking
and there's
just this question.
One question. They go to each table, and they just kind of – it's just like just one question. And so I saw him do that like 3 or 4 times. And he's asking these guys. and they're all, you know, 4.3. I'm going to run 4.3. And when I was at training, I ran 4.4. So, you know, he asked one lineman what he's going to run lineman to, like 4.5. Not one of those guys got close. Tyler ran in the 4.4s. I think he ran like 4.40. So I happened to be sitting literally from me to you away from Will Fuller. And Will, I knew, having watched the Notre Dame documentary about their season, I knew Will didn't say a whole lot. So I was kind of curious as to what he would have to say. And we were looking for a receiver. And so I was just, any nugget that I could pick up, I just thought would be kind of cool. So just kind of sitting there and was just listening. I don't like to ask questions in those things. I like to do it in a one-on-one setting because I like to kind of expand on things I ask. So I was just listening. And Will was good. I was like, well, he's better than, you know, he typically, you know, he'd be shown to be on the documentary. Like, he didn't even show him talking much. I was like, he's good. He's asking questions and being very, very forthright. And so that same guy walks up and says, Will, what do you think you're going to run 40 in? And without missing a beat, Will goes, 4.32.
He ran a 4.31.
And he didn't say any more. He just said 4.32. That was it. It wasn't like I ran that in training. It was just like 4.32. And then the next question came. I was like, okay. Next.
Will gets the point.
Two days later, we had flown home the next day on Friday. Saturday, I get up in the morning, and the combine had already started, and I missed like the first 15 minutes of it. I'm like, dadgummit. So I ran it back without, just ran it back and started it. And then my dumb idiot self clicked on Twitter, and all of a sudden, all I can see is 4.31. Like, 4.31. And then I see the name Fuller. And I was like, he called it. He absolutely nailed it. Not only did he, I mean, 4.32, he's off by, you know, a hundredth of a second. I'm like, holy smokes. He nailed this. Every single other guy was not even close to his time. I mean, completely off. One guy says he's going to run 4.4. He ran 4.68 or something like that. And Fuller just goes 4.32. They ran 4.31 and absolutely nailed it.
Well, that's very football-centric. That's very Texan-centric. Yes. Mine is totally just BS in comparison to yours, because one of the things we all do as a group is we go out to a really nice steakhouse one night in Indianapolis, and we have settled on this one where we go. Yes. And I don't want to give them free publicity, but it's really good. But before we had settled, I don't know if it was 15, if it was 14, it might have been 16 even, but I think it was probably 15, 14. Mm-hmm. Went to this other one. I don't want to besmirch their name because they probably do other good things, but they did not do this one. I was like, you know, I get the New York strip every time. I get the ribeye every time. I'm going to go with something different. So they had this, it was like a glaze that they said with a little hint of raspberry and pepper. And I was like, well, you know,
I remember when you did this. I remember this totally.
I'll give it a try. You know, it's not like I'm getting a fish at a steakhouse, which is just something only animals do. I get this thing. And I kid you not, it's a nice steakhouse. And it was basically this thing that it was covered in was a whole bunch of A1 steak sauce with a hint of raspberry. And it's like somebody said, oh, there's pepper in this?
Just poured it in.
It's disgusting. Yeah.
I remember
so I was like,
when
I scraping it off when with that my knife trying to eat it. Yeah.
I remember that.
Jay McDevitt's just laughing at me.
I remember when that happened because that was the same night that I got the shrimp cocktail treatment, which is definitely something that everybody.
So that was probably 15 then. That would have been your first one with us.
That was my first one with us. And I remember that because the next year we all pushed for the other place because we went to that other place during the season.
This place writes us, this place he's talking about writes us thank you notes.
They put our logo and our
names
on the menu.
It's awesome.
I love that place. I don't know if you remember this, Drew, but I saw this after the Super Bowl. There was a guy that walked up to Andy Reid behind him, and I could see him, and he looked sort of like Tom Penders. And I was like, I know that guy. That's Andy's agent. Well,
he's always.
He has the table at the front corner, and I read in an article that he gets that table for the entire combine, and that just basically becomes his office. And he's like, any meeting, they go there.
Yeah.
Any meeting, hey, meet me at my table at this place. And he gets it for the whole. I'm like, that's got to be $100,000.
Yeah, we've seen Andy Reid there with him. With lunch. Yeah.
In fact, one dinner we had last year was like Andy Reid, John Fox, Frank Reich, Zach Taylor with the Bengals. I mean, it was like five or six head coaches, and they all just kind of cycled into that table.
And they'll be
awesome
there this year. Yep. I mean, there will be some semblance
about that.
Set of, hey, man, good time doing this with you.
That's fun.
Thank you so much for watching this and listening to this. in the lab. We'll be back next week. Will we? Will we do one next week?
We'll find a way.
Yeah, we'll figure out a way. We'll do one in Indianapolis. There'll be a lot of ambient noise going on. Might not see it on YouTube, but hey, we'll be back again soon. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Tyler Marcotte and Mitchell Moreland for making all this happen, this video session. This has been In the Lab.